morning. Welcome to St. Simon's. Welcome to this, our Palm Sunday online service. It's great to have you join us. I know people all over Southport and in other areas too are joining us online each Sunday. So it is great to have you with us. Thank you for making the time to come together, to pray, to praise, to listen to God's word. Children as well, it is great to have you with us. I know your parents, if you're part of St. Simon's, have been sent some activities for you to do, either during the sermon or later today. So it's great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Older kids, we've got some sermon notes for you to fill in. If you've not printed those off yet, it'd be a good chance to pause the video now and to go and print those off, and you can use those later. I should say as well that my name is Andy. I'm a minister at St. Simon's, and it is great to have you with us this morning. It is Palm Sunday, so let me begin by reading some verses from Luke's Gospel of what happened when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. We read that, "When Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." As we gather together this morning, we have a King Jesus who reigns. Who reigns now, not on earth, not in Jerusalem, but in heaven. And we say, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And we're going to sing about his splendour, the splendour of the King, in a moment. Before we do that, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus is our King. Thank you that he reigns. Thank you that he will one day return. Father, we look forward to that day. And as we meet and gather together this morning in our various places, please help us to see Jesus as our wonderful, redeeming, saving King. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Majesty, and all God's Story, Palm Sunday. So part of God's story happened on a day we call Palm Sunday, and it begins like this. Remember how God sent his son Jesus to rescue us? Well, not everybody believed that Jesus was really God's son and the rescuer, but the ones who did believe in him did something pretty cool on Palm Sunday. It started just like any other day for Jesus. He was heading into Jerusalem with his disciples, but before they got there, Jesus did something surprising. He stopped and sent two of his disciples to go get a young donkey from a nearby village. He even told them exactly where the owner had last tied it up. They weren't sure why he needed the donkey, but they obeyed him. Kids, would you be willing to obey Jesus, even if he asked you to do something you didn't understand? Anyway, when the disciples got back with the donkey, they threw their coats on its back like a saddle, and Jesus climbed up. Pretty soon, the disciples saw why Jesus needed it. See, crowds of people came to the road and started laying coats and tree branches to make a path for Jesus. When this happened, many people recognized that Jesus was a king. Only kings came into a city like this. So Jesus rode the donkey, like he was a one-man parade. And the crowds praised Jesus by yelling things like, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord," and "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest," because they believed Jesus was the rescuer. But remember how some people didn't believe Jesus was God's son? Well, they told Jesus to make everybody stop yelling. They didn't think Jesus deserved to be treated like a king. You know what Jesus said? He told them, "If they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out." Well, the people who didn't believe in Jesus didn't like thinking about people or rocks praising him. And that made Jesus sad. He actually started crying. And not just crying, weeping. Here, the people were standing next to the rescuer they've been wanting and waiting for their whole lives, and they were missing it. But even though Jesus cried, Palm Sunday isn't a sad story. Easter is all about Jesus' amazing rescue, and Palm Sunday is a reminder of just how special that rescue is, and how much Jesus loves everyone. And that's the story of Palm Sunday. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Jesus was traveling. He sent his disciples to get a donkey. People spread coats and branches on the road. They praised Jesus. Some people didn't recognize that he was the king. That made Jesus sad. He had come to rescue them. A few days later, he would show just how much he loves us. And that's a part of God's story.
His love by sending us his own son. Jesus died for us. God showed us his love when Jesus died for us. While we were his enemies, God showed us his love. How do we know what love is? God showed us his love by sending us his own son. Jesus died for us. God showed us his love when Jesus died for us. While we were his enemies, God showed us his love. God showed us his love by sending us his own son. Jesus died for us. God showed us his love when Jesus died for us. While we were his enemies, God showed us his love. God showed us his love when Jesus died for us. While we were his enemies, showed up.
we're going to have time to pray, and we're going to do that as we've done in previous weeks. So there'll be some prayer points up on the screen, and you can pause the video and pray where you are with people at home or just on your own. We're going to do that at the moment, but I just want to give you a bit of church family news first. Two things, really. The first is actually on prayer. So some of us this week, on Thursday nights, we did a little prayer meeting by Zoom over the internet. Now, we're aware that not everybody can access the internet. That's not an easy thing to do for a lot of people. So this coming week, we're going to try something a bit different. So on Tuesday night, we are going to pray by doing 777. Let me explain what that is. So Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock, we're going to ask people in St. Simon's, wherever they are, to pause and to pray for 7 minutes. So at 7 o'clock, to pray for 7 minutes for seven different people. And in the email updates I send out, I'll give you some of the types of people we can be praying for. But on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, pause for 7 minutes to pray for seven different types of people. Well, just wherever you are, just in the quietness of your own heart, maybe with other people as well. It's up to you, really. But that's just a way of us all as a church family knowing that actually at that point we are pausing to pray together for the needs of our church family and the needs of those not yet in our church family. And the second thing I wanted to mention is that some of us do have a bit more time on our hands at the moment in self-isolation, in lockdown. I know that's not true for everybody, but for some it is. And so we wanted to help people to be using our time well in order to grow in our love for God. And what we're going to do is give you the option of joining an online course. This book, Enjoying God, is by Tim Chester. And it's a great book, which it helps us to not just know God, but to enjoy him and to delight in knowing him as Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and what that means to relate to him in the everyday. And he's turned this book into an online course, which is free. And we've got access to that as a church. It's the book in short videos, no more than 10 minutes, with some discussion questions and sort of reflection and a bit of online discussion as well. And we're going to make that available to anybody who wants it in St. Simon's. You just need to let me know. We can sign you up to that. And we'll set a schedule so that we can work through that online course together, whoever's doing it, and we can discuss and we can pray together. We just thought that might be something that is going to help us in these days keep on growing together in Christ and delighting more in God. So if you'd like to be part of that, email me, get in touch, let me know, and I'll get you signed up for that. Well, we're going to pray now. Before you guys pause to pray, I'm going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. So we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, we're going to turn to God's Word now, and let me just say a bit about what we're going to be doing over the next three Sundays, over this Easter period. We're going to be looking at Psalms, so some songs written in the Bible, and we are going to be looking at them as a soundtrack to Easter, So there are songs written long before Jesus, but songs which look forward and foreshadow and echo what was going to happen on that first Easter week. So that's what we're going to be doing over these next couple of weeks and on Good Friday as well. And today we're looking at Psalm 118. So if you've not got a Bible, go and grab your Bible, turn up to Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 is it's shouted by the crowds on that first Palm Sunday. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It looks ahead to Jesus as our King and all that he is going to do. So we're going to listen to Psalm 118 read now.
Hello, my name is Linda. I've been a member of St. Simon's Church for 38 years and I'm married to Robert. Today's reading comes from Psalm 118, beginning to read at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Thanks, Linda, for reading. We are going to look at Psalm 118 together. So please keep that open if you've got that at home. I'm going to pray as we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have songs in the Bible, songs that engage our emotions and speak to us in different ways. Father, please, would you speak to us? Would you fill us with a sense of your love and your assurance now as we look at Psalm 118 together. Please, by your Spirit, do those things in each of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, this psalm is a psalm, a song, all about God's love. You see it in verse 1? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love, what the psalmist speaks about is God's covenant love, his steadfast love, the love that he has committed to show to his people, his unwavering commitments. And I heard someone describe God's steadfast love for his people like this. It was part of a prayer. He prayed, "The quantity of your love is like standing under the Niagara Falls of your affection, flowing from the bottomless ocean of your grace. The reliability of your love is a gazillion times more certain than death and taxes. The quality of your love is the same affection, passion, and delight you've enjoyed forever with Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the endurability of your love, well, you'll cease being God before you'll stop loving your children." And this song calls on each of us as God's children to say, "Yes, I believe that, and I know that for myself." Look at verse 2. "Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever." It calls us to say, "Yes, I know that love, that wonderful love of God the Father for myself." But I guess the question is, how can I join in? How can I be confident that that is my experience? Because sometimes it just doesn't seem like that. Sometimes we can think, well, actually, I'm not sure that God does love me. I'm not sure I do experience that kind of love. Whether it because we're in the midst of a global pandemic or some other terrible suffering, we think, well, actually, I don't know whether God loves me in this kind of way. I don't feel it. Or we look at sin in our lives, past sin, or some persistent sin. And we think, well, I don't seem to feel like God loves me. I look at my sin and I think, how can God love me in that way? And maybe it is just a case that I don't feel it. The words of his love, well, they just simply wash over me. Or it seems that when somebody speaks of God's love, his enduring, faithful love in the way that the guy who prayed did, it just seems too good to be true. So how can we join in? How can we join him as God's people and say, yes, his love for me really does endure forever? I know that in the core of my being. Well, it's by sharing in the experience of God's King. A King who knew the reality of that love. Because that's what Psalm 118 is all about. It's the experience of God's King. God's King, maybe at the time, maybe King David. And a King who is assured of God's love because he wins an astonishing victory. A surprising God-given victory on behalf of God's people. Look at verse 10. "All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down." This king wins a victory. And this king then leads God's people to safety. In verses 15 and verse 19. So actually most of this song is a victory parade. It's a victory parade by God's victorious King. And he and his people therefore know that God loves them in the way of his enduring love in those opening verses. So picture this psalm as a victory parade, like Liverpool when they won the Champions League, Liverpool Football Club, you know, as they went through the streets of Liverpool. It's that kind of victory parade. Shame they won't be having a victory parade this year for winning the Premier League, but hey-ho. So it's the King's experience of winning this victory and leading his people in victory that assures him of God's love. But actually, this psalm also does something more than show us King David. it shows us King Jesus, because it's a psalm, a song that points us forwards to Jesus and his experience and his victory as God's King on behalf of his people. Because Jesus knew this song was about him. Crowds, as we've already said, on Palm Sunday, quote this psalm as Jesus comes into Jerusalem as God's King riding on a donkey. Jesus himself quotes this psalm about himself. He quotes verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He quotes it in Holy Week, in that first Easter week, when he's talking to the religious leaders. And you know what as well? It was probably the last song that Jesus sung before he was crucified. At the end of the Passover meal, Psalm 118 would have been sung by those there. And so maybe it's fair to say that Jesus had this song going around in his head on that dark night before he was crucified on Good Friday. So how do we join in and say, I know that God loves me, I know that his love endures forever? Well, it's by sharing in the experience of God's King. Sharing in the experience of Jesus, God's ultimate King. Let me show us what that looks like in the psalm. First of all, we know that God loves us because we share in the King's confidence. We share in the King's confidence. Have a look at verse 5, if you've got your Bible open. And look at the situation the King finds himself in. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. When hard pressed, when he was distressed, when he was in anguish, the King is facing serious trouble. He's hard pressed on every side. But he doesn't give in to despair. Although he's facing overwhelming odds, what does he say in verse 6? The Lord is with me and I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. He's in deep distress, he's in anguish, he's facing overwhelming odds, and yet he says, I am confident. I'm confident in the Lord. I'm not going to turn verses 8 and 9 to trust in humans or princes and make alliances with nations. Even though the odds are overwhelming, I have confidence as God's King. I have confidence in God himself. A king who trusts completely in the Lord. That God won't abandon him. And again, we think of God's ultimate King, Jesus, and the confidence that he had. The night before he dies in the garden, in deep distress and anguish, knowing in a few short hours he will face death and he will bear the weight of people's sin. And yet, whilst he's faced with something that is overwhelming, he doesn't give in to despair. He prays, he entrusts himself to his Father, and he knows that death won't be the end. Verse 6, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. Jesus shares the confidence of this King in Psalm 118. As the ultimate King, he looks at the odds which seem overwhelming and he trusts in the Lord. He knows that he will look in triumph, that he won't be overwhelmed because he has confidence. And that is a confidence that we can share. As Christians who are united to Jesus, as we've seen all the way through Colossians over the last couple of months, we can experience that same confidence. In Christ, we know that God is with us. The Lord is with me. In Christ, we need not be afraid. Ultimately, what can mere mortals do to me? Ultimately, we are safe with Christ. We're able to say verse 6 for ourselves, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? John Chrysostom was a man who, on the face of it, had every reason to fear. He was a preacher in the 4th century, and he was hauled before the Empress at the time, Empress Eudoxia. And she commanded him to stop preaching. And she said, look, if you don't stop preaching about Jesus, I'm going to banish you. And to which he replies, well, you cannot banish me, for this world is my Father's house. Okay, well, I'll kill you then, said the Empress. No, you cannot, for my life is hid with Christ in God. Well, I'll take away your treasures, said the Empress. No, you cannot, for my treasure is in heaven and my heart is there. But I will drive you away from your friends, and you will have no one left. No, you cannot, for I have a friend in heaven from whom you cannot separate me. I defy you. There is nothing you can do to harm me. Well, that is the remarkable confidence that King David has, that King Jesus has, and ultimately that we can have in Christ. United to Jesus, we can say, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? We are safe, we are hidden with him. Pandemics or plagues, sin or suffering, death or destruction can all be faced with confidence, safe with Christ, God's King. So we are to rest in that confidence this week. And whatever we're facing, we're to rest in that confidence to know that in Christ and with Christ, you and I are safe. And that God's love for us endures forever. And the Father is as committed to us as he is committed to Christ. We are safe with him. In a moment, we're going to look at the rest of Psalm 118. But before we do that, we're going to sing a song. A song which is taken, the words are taken from Psalm 118. And it speaks of God's enduring love for his people. So we're going to sing that, and then we're going to come back and look at the rest of Psalm 118.
Forever God is faithful.
So Psalm 118 is showing us that we can be confident of God's enduring, everlasting love because we share in the experience and achievement of his ultimate King, King Jesus. Now, we've seen we share in his confidence, united to him. And we also share in the King's victory. And listen to how the King of Psalm 118 describes the situation he was facing. Verse 10, all the nations surrounded me. In verse 11, they surrounded me on every side. Verse 12, they swarmed around me like bees. Verse 13, I was pushed back and about to fall. He's facing, him and his army, they're facing annihilation, completely surrounded, cut off. If you've seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy, you'll know at the end of the final film, The Return of the King, the armies of the Fellowship, the good guys, they're surrounded outside the gates of Mordor, the gates of evil. And they're there, and there's a picture of them as a little circle, a little band of brothers. And around them are the raging armies of evil. They're completely cut off. Their annihilation and defeat looks certain. Well, that's the situation the king was facing. But what happens? Verse 10. But in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. Verse 12. They were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. Verse 13. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Annihilation turns into victory at the last moment. God's king and his army rescued by God's salvation. And he speaks of it almost in terms of resurrection. Verse 16. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Verse 17, sorry. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. I will not die but live and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. Again, do you see how this experience looks 1,000 years later to the experience of Jesus and to his victory as God's King? Jesus surrounded on the cross by the nations as people gloat over him, cursing him. God's innocent King facing shame and humiliation. Evil appearing to triumph as he dies. But Easter morning comes, and oh, what a morning that is. And we can almost place the words of verse 17 onto the lips of Jesus. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. And Jesus bursting forth from the grave, his resurrection, proclaims that the cross is not the moment of defeat, but the moment of victory. The moment that all our sin, all the sin of God's people, is laid on Jesus, and when it is paid for in full. When Jesus was shut out from God's presence, so that we could be in God's presence forever. The moment of victory. When Jesus rises from the grave to show that the price for my sin has been paid in full, that there is free forgiveness, life everlasting, and a love that endures. And so, in the words of verse 22, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus, the rejected one, becomes Jesus, the victorious one. The salvation for God's people. The one in whom we find our forgiveness and victory. And we as God's people share his victory over sin and death and evil. Back to that picture in Return of the King. The good guys surrounded, and suddenly a victory is won many miles away, by Frodo. And the result for God's surrounded people is that their enemies are literally swallowed up. The ground opens and swallows all of the enemies that were around them. And because of the victory of King Jesus, because of his victory, that is true of us. Our enemies of sin and death and evil have been swallowed up. Because he paid for my sin. The nagging guilt, gone. The darkness of death, dealt with. The power of evil, broken. The enduring love of God, guaranteed. We share in the King's victory. Not only do we share in the King's victory, we share in the King's access. Verse 19, God's King has won the victory and he leads his people back to the temple in Jerusalem, the symbol at the time of God's presence. He says in verse 19, open for me the gates of the righteous and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. And then God's people then follow the King in to God's presence. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. Through Jesus' victory, through his sin-bearing death, we as God's people are led into the very throne room of heaven, into the presence of the Father. And we will one day experience that eternally, but now we enjoy that through prayer. And last week we saw that call to devote ourselves to prayer. What a privilege that is, to have that free and that intimate access to the Father in heaven. Through Jesus' work. That great song, oh what a peace we often forfeit, oh what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The free access that we now have to our Father in prayer, through the King's victory, through him leading us in to the presence of God. And how do God's people respond to the King's victory? We get that in verses 22 to 27. But let me just say two things. I'll pick up on two things as we close. What do they shout in verse 25? Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. That is a great thing to cry out, isn't it? If you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, actually, I don't have an assurance of God's love. I don't know that my sin is paid for. I don't know that I've got a confident access to God in prayer. Cry out, Lord, save me. Why not? Why not do that? Lord, save us. Simply pray those words. Lord, save us. Lord, forgive me. Lord, change me. And the experience of Jesus can be your experience. The victory over sin and death can be yours. The confidence that Jesus has, that God is always with him, confidence that Christians have, can be yours. But I want to say this is not just this will be a nice thing to do, a nice add-on. Oh yeah, Lord save me. I'd like to experience God's love. I'd like to experience his forgiveness, eternal hope. That's nice. No, we need to do that. Because otherwise we will face destruction. When Jesus quotes verse 22, in that week leading up to Easter, he quotes it in judgment. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He quotes it to those who are rejecting him. And he says, if you reject me, then this stone, the one on whom God's house is going to be built, will one day ultimately judge you. He's saying, if you do not receive me as the cornerstone, then you will end up facing judgment for your sin and for your rejection of me. So it is so important that we pray, Lord, save us. But many of us have done that. Have a look at verse 23 and 24. If we've prayed, Lord, save us, Verse 23, the Lord has done this and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. We're called to see. We're called to see what the Lord has done for us. We're called to see that it is marvellous. This week, especially in the run-up to Easter, see again. See again all that Jesus has done for you as God's King. See what he has done for you in dying and rising again. See the confidence that you have. See the victory that you have. See the access to the Father that you have. Give yourself a break from the endless news cycles about COVID-19 and the pandemic. And see. The Lord has done this. It is marvellous in our eyes. When we gaze again at all that King Jesus has done for us, then it will be marvellous in our eyes. Then we'll be assured of God's great love for us. See all that is yours in Christ. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for all that Jesus has done for us. Thank you that as his people we enjoy confidence that you are always with us. Thank you that through Jesus we share in his victory. His victory won at the cross over sin and death and evil. Thank you that through Jesus we're able to know you as Father and to have access with you. Please assure us of your great love for us. Please help us to see all that Jesus has done. And would it be marvellous in our eyes? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of
rescue. You are Logan, save. You are Logan, lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, let us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise.
Well, thanks again for joining us this Palm Sunday. We'd love you to join us again next week for Easter Sunday. It'd be great to, in some way, celebrate together the glorious resurrection of Jesus. On Good Friday, we're going to have an hour at the cross meditation, which will also be up on our YouTube channel at 2 o'clock. Feel free to join us for that as well. As well, if you are, watching this and you're not a regular part of St Simon's, I'd love to hear from you. Do contact me. I've got an email address. Everyone's looking for contact at the moment. It'd be nice just to touch base and say hi if it is something that you're doing and watching each week with us. Just nice to know, I guess, who our church family are at the moment. So do drop me an email or give me a call. Contact details on the website. Let me say one final prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we pray that this week you would keep us confident and safe and secure in Christ. Help us to rest assured in the victory that he has won for us. In Jesus' name, amen.